I don't know about you, but we try to, you know, we create our gatherings to have some flow, and today's just kind of like, so you ready for another? Is that good? No, you're not. Here's how the message is going to work today. We're going to wrap up through the waters, and then we're going to look where we've been. We're going to look where we're going. But before we do any of that, I want to invite you next Sunday, right after this gathering, 12:30 p.m. Say that with me. Oh, you got it, right? At Blue Lake Park. All right, we're going to have an all-church picnic. That's how it's going to work. We're just going to gather together and have this all-church picnic, but I need to explain to you because somebody saw potluck and went, what is that? And I know that for some of you, that's a new word. That's when, like, we all make food and we bring it and we share it. Does that make sense? And so some of you are thinking, and yes, in my head, just so you know, I go through and I try to figure out what the unidentified objects are. And I'm thinking, huh, that's an interesting way to make pasta. Or the year that I walked down the table and somebody brought a box of Jell-O. And I asked for permission to tell this story, and they told me I could share it because they happened to be in the room. Don't look at anywhere or anybody. My eyes are closed, all right? And I said, the good idea is to make that before you come and put it in the fridge before you come so that we can share in the completed Jell-O icing process. Does that make sense? And so here's how it's going to work, all right? And I know I'm kind of embellishing this. Some of that's on purpose because some of you are already saying, you want me to bring food? I'm not coming. Some of you are already saying, you want me to eat somebody else's food? I'm not coming. All right, we really want you to be there. And so if your last name starts with the letter A through L, we're saying bring a main dish, bring a side salad or a fruit, all right? Easy enough. Yes, if your last name is M to Z, bring a main dish and a dessert. And let me just tell you the secret to a potluck. Go to the dessert table first. All right? Just, it's okay. Nobody will judge you except for me. All right? And so, does everybody understand what we're trying to do? One last thing. We've rented a pavilion, but it's $5. Metro charges $5 per car to get into the park. And so have fun with that and see how many people you can cram in your car. Sound good? Excellent, excellent. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up 10 weeks ago. And this is the longest summer series we've done this way. 10 weeks ago, we started in Genesis chapter 1, and the world was formless, and it was empty, and it was dark, and the Spirit was hovering over the chaos. And God spoke, and what he did is he spoke life into this darkness, into this formless water, and life came up out from the deep. And so we've been following the water ever since that week. We worked through the flood, Noah and the flood, the Red Sea, through the Jordan River. We worked through the Psalms crying from the deep and the prophets who are promising something that no water moment had yet been able to accomplish or deliver on. We worked through the Jordan River again when Jesus stepped in and changed what water means from that moment forever forward. We talked about Jesus saying that his own death was a baptism of sorts, where the deepest water of all, and yet he went deep down into that water, came up out the other side. And then we worked through the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, where the Spirit arrived and the Spirit finally transformed the heart, which no water moment was able to do from that moment on. And then last week through baptism, where the story, the water story of the Bible, became real and personal for 14 people in a way that the most concrete way that is possible. And it was beautiful. So 10 weeks, one pattern, one thread, one question that we asked over and over and over. And the question was, will God bring his people through? And listen, I don't know for sure what every person in the room is actually dealing with in life right now. But I do know some of you feel like you're barely treading water enough not to push you under. And so the question is, will God bring his people through? And every story, every single time, the answer without any question was yes. And today I want to give you hope. Because we're going to look where the river goes. Almost the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. And this is what it says in verses 1 through 5. And some of you, you may just need to read this, close your eyes and imagine it. But this is what it says. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. Here's water again. And this is John who's been taken up. He's seeing things, God's showing him things. If you've ever read the book of Revelation, it's wild reading. Because John is talking, and you almost have to imagine a kid in a candy store who's looking, and you're saying, what do you want? And they're like, they don't know. And so here's John taken up to see this eternity. And he's like, I looked and I saw. But he's in this moment where he says, I looked. And then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, and it was bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. You have to go all the way back to the Psalms and the Proverbs that talks about the tree that's planted by the river of life that gives it life. And if the tree's not by the river of life, guess what? It's not going to survive. And this is the picture. This is what's going on. And it says the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. It's the last water moment we have in Scripture. And it's a river, and it's a river of life, and it's bright as crystal, and it's flowing from the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb, because we know that Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, he's sitting at the right hand of God in the throne room. And we're reminded that the kingdom is both here right now and not yet. That both already and still coming, that the kingdom of God is present, but it's still coming, and the Lamb is already on the throne, and that that's not a future statement. It's not a prophetic statement about the future. It's already happening. It's a present one, and the river is already flowing from him, and the source of life is not somewhere off in the distant future to arrive, waiting to arrive. He, the Lamb, is reigning right now. And yes, there's still completion ahead. We do not yet see his face. The nations have not been fully healed yet. And the night has not ended yet. And the curse has not been fully reversed and fully lifted yet. And we've been talking about this because we live in the middle of all of that, which, if you've been paying attention, should sound very, very familiar. It's the in-between. It's the Saturday when Jesus was in the tomb. It's the place between what has already happened and what has not yet fully come yet. And here's what's different now from everything that came before. We're not waiting for God to act. Do you know why? Because he's already acted. He's already acted, and he's acted decisively, and he's acted finally and irreversibly in Jesus. What we're waiting on is for the completion of what he's already done. And when I read Revelation 22, you need to read it in light that the river is already flowing. It's not someday. We're already standing in it. And we started in Genesis 1 with chaotic water, formless, dark, and it was deep And we end here, the same element, completely, totally transformed. Not chaotic water, not flood water, not the Red Sea with an army closing in behind you. It's a crystal river, and it's flowing from the throne of the Lamb, running through the middle of the city, and it's giving life to everything it touches. And in this moment, my heart's lifted. And the weight I carry is lighter. And the burdens of the day don't seem so heavy anymore. The water that was always ambiguous, the water that could either save you or destroy you, judge you or cleanse you, it's no longer ambiguous because the Lamb is on the throne and the water is flowing from Him. And I'm telling you, this is what the whole series has been driving us toward. It's everything. From the chaos in Genesis chapter 1 to the crystal river that we read about in Revelation 22, it's the same story that God is speaking life from water, that God is preserving His people through water, that God is going under through His one and only Son to only come up stronger on the other side. And in the end of all things, the water flows, and the water flows purely and freely forever from Him as the source. You understand what that means? No more curse. No more night. No more chaos. No more disease. No more death. No more war. No more fighting. No more division. No more. None of it anymore. Just the river. Just the throne. Just the face of God. And so the rescue mission that began in Genesis chapter 3 is finally finished. What God promised, He has delivered on. And the brokenness that we read about with Noah and the flood, and the brokenness that we read about the Red Sea that couldn't fix anything, and the brokenness that the Jordan River couldn't fix, is now fixed. It's now finished. Not because humanity finally got it right, not because we figured it out, because Jesus went all the way down into the deep so that He could come all the way up, reminding us that life always comes out the other side. We, you and me, we are resurrection people. We're resurrection people. The question for us is not when will God show up. That's not the question. God's already here. God's already on the throne. God's already moving. The river is already moving. We live on the other side of the deepest water moment in history when Jesus died and He went to the deepest parts of the water. He's already moving. And you and I, we are heading toward a river that flows from the Lamb of God. And this is the story that we've been telling for 10 weeks. It's not just a story we tell, it's a story we belong to. It's our story. And so that's sermon one. You ready for sermon two? Don't you love my clunky transitions right there? Before we look at where we're going, I want to look at where we've been. If you don't know how we operate, let me give you the boring piece here, all right? Every summer, our team begins praying and asking God, how do you want to work in our church in the next year? And so in May, we put together this plan, and we all go our ways. We begin praying. We begin asking God, what are you going to do? How do you want us to teach? What do you want us to teach for the next year? And so we do that. In the beginning of August, we gather together and we work through a plan. We write basically a paragraph for every Sunday for the next year. Here's what we believe. We believe the Holy Spirit works in the hard chair. The hard chair is that hard work where we get to plan, where we're saying, God, what are you doing? And then we show up here and the Holy Spirit works in what I call the soft chair. And that's what He's doing between my mouth and your heart right now. I'm not that good. And so people, hey, That was not you. You're going down. That's all I'm saying. That was quick. Anyway, I have people who say to me, man, what you said today was really powerful, and they'll tell me what I said. I'm like, I don't think I said that. I don't think, but hey, but I trust every week that the Holy Spirit's going to take my words and ride my words into your heart because they're His words, and that's the goal. So we sit down and we put a plan together, and sometimes we're shocked, honestly, because we're like, wow, we never saw that coming when we planned it in August, and here we are, whoa. I think I told you, I would have rather preached lament any other year but this last year. But clearly God knew what He was doing in August. And whether you needed that series or not, I did. So thanks for enduring that with me. And so each year, our calendar year for our sermon planning is September through August. So we're getting ready to start. Today's that transition Sunday from the old year to the new year. But I want you to know what we've been talking about. We've been basically telling one story the whole year. And this is the story. You belong here. You belong here. And we believe you are called to something. And to follow your calling, it's going to be costly and it's going to be painful. Isn't that exciting? It just is. It's going to be costly. It's going to be painful. And yet, we know without a doubt that God is faithful and He transforms everything. And this is the truth that we've been talking about underneath every series, underneath every Sunday gathering, every message that we've preached the last year. We said anyone can belong here because the table is open and the doors are wide, and the church is not a place, by the way, for people who have it all put together. And I'm just telling you, if you've got it all put together, you're going to find yourself very uncomfortable at Mountain View. Because we do not have it put together. I'm a lump of clay talking to a bunch of other lumps of clay. And God is the potter, and He is shaping, and He is molding. And so if you think you've got it figured out, I'm just telling you, you might not last long here. Because I promise you, you can look to the person to your left, you can look to the person to your right, and behind you, in front of you, and they're a mess. What we do want here is for you to have the freedom to say that truth, that I am a mess, that I am in Jesus. He is with me, and He is doing something in me, and He is shaping me and forming me into something beautiful and great. That's the truth. And we just want to remind people of that. We just want to be honest about what God's doing, and sometimes how faith is like a roller coaster ride, and it twists you and turns you and spins you up and down, and there's loop-de-loops, and we said that we're called to something. That following Jesus isn't a private arrangement, it's actually a public vocation. That we are not here on accident. I don't believe for a moment that you're here on accident. I don't believe you live in the neighborhood you live in on accident. I don't believe the school you go to is an accident. I don't believe the place that you work is an accident. I believe that God is doing something in you and around you. I believe that. And sure, we might not like where we live and like where we work or like where we go to school, but I promise you that God is capable of doing something beautiful and remarkable through you. You're not an accident. I believe with my whole heart that you were created in your mother's womb by the hand of God with purpose, passion, and intentionality. And we just get to go through life to try to figure that out. And sometimes it's like a potter. Sometimes he has to take the clay and go and start over again. And that's okay, again and again. And so we said it would actually cost us something. Just like the way of the kingdom runs through the water of death, that Saturday comes before Sunday, and the in-between is where faith is actually formulated and made. We said that no matter what, God is faithful, and that the pattern has never failed, and that the Spirit does in us what the water could never do, and that the rescue mission that began in Genesis 3 is still running, and we get to be a part of it. And so this is what we've been doing. And again, none of it's an accident. Every series, every passage, every Sunday, we've been building something. We want to be a church who knows the story. We want to be a church who can tell the story. We want to be a church that gathers and tells this great story. Does that make sense? And so that's part two. You ready for part three? Where are we going? Let me share where we're going. What we've built the last year, by the way, is not going away. You're going to keep hearing it. The foundation that was laid, the story of who we are, that we've been called to something, that we belong, that's not going to disappear. And so if you're thinking, come on, do something different, it's not. There's no backslide from what God has been building. There's only a step forward to continue building it. And so the next step forward, we believe, has a name. And here's what we're going to name it this year. This is kind of the theme for the year. God moves first. God moves first. It's the theme for the year ahead. It isn't how do we find God or how do we perform to make God happy with us. It's none of that about trying to earn our place in his kingdom. It's about God moving first. He moves, and our invitation is to notice. Our invitation to see. And so we've been building this whole idea that we're being sent people, people who belong to the story, who understand there's a cost to it, who have been through the water but have come up on the other side. And now the question is, how do we keep being sent people? How do we build his kingdom? How do we become the kind of people who go where Jesus goes and does the things that Jesus did? And the answer every single time isn't to try harder. It's not about having more effort or more willpower or these things. It's about being attentive. What do I mean by that? Think about the blind man I talked about from John chapter 9 last week. Jesus and his disciples, they're walking and they see this blind man, and the disciples say, who sinned first, him or his parents? Do you know what Jesus does? Such a powerful moment. He says, guys, you're asking the wrong question. And he walks straight up to the man. He didn't make the man find him. He didn't say, hey, we're gathering over here. Why don't you show up? You might find healing. What did Jesus do? He moved first. He moved first. And he told the man, go do these things and you will be healed. And suddenly he does what Jesus said and he was healed. And that's the pattern for us for the next year. The pattern is this: God moves. God moves. We notice. We surrender. We become. That's it. And I watched it last week. 14 different people, 14 different stories. All the same pattern. You know what the pattern was? God seemed to be doing some things in my life. Most of the time, people call them coincidences. You know, there was just some coincidences. And I started having these conversations, and I realized some things, and they just kept happening. Have you heard this story before? I tell people, oh, there are no coincidences. If there is a coincidence in your life, somebody is trying to get your attention. Because God moves. And as God moves, we start to notice his movement, which then leads us to this place where we're like, I'm a part of something a lot bigger than me. And it usually leads us to surrender, where we're saying, I want to be a part of his kingdom. I want to make him the king of my life. And then we go on this journey of becoming, where he shapes and he molds and he works things out in our lives. It's beautiful. It's the story over and over. It's exactly what God did in my life. I was 13 years old. I've shared this story with you before. And God was moving, and I could see something was happening, and it was bigger than me. And I noticed, I surrendered. And I've been on this journey ever since of him shaping and molding and making me into something hopefully somewhat beautiful. Don't say anything. Thank you. Right? I mean, it's the verse. I shared it last week. It's the verse in Philippians I hold on to. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Like, you don't have to have it all figured out, but we're definitely on a journey of growth. We're trying to figure this out. And so God moves toward the blind. And God moves in and works in the unexpected ways. And he invites us to respond not by performing, instead by surrendering. Like, that's the reality. We don't have to find God. We don't have to earn our place. We don't have to manufacture transformation, because God's already moving toward us. And the invitation is to just open our eyes and see, to stay present, and to let him do the work and make the changes in us that he wants to make. And so here's our anchor verse for the year. And it's familiar to some of you. It's from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Easier said than done, I know. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And the second part, don't lean on your own understanding. How many of you, is this a daily battle? Right? Because sometimes we wonder, God, what are you doing? We experience pain or hardship or trials in our life, and we wonder, I don't know, God. Or we think somebody's got to make a decision now. I guess I'm the one to make the decision, or I'm the one to move, or I'm the one to do what I've got to do. And we start to trust in ourselves and lean on our own understanding more than we do God, right? And so we're going to learn all year long, how do we trust in the Lord with all of our heart? How do we not lean on our own understanding? Verse 6 says, and in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. All your ways, acknowledge him. Don't lean on your own understanding. That's not an instruction to stop thinking, by the way, because some people argue and say, no, it's not an invitation to stop thinking. It's an invitation to stop trusting the version of your story that leaves God out of it. What we're trying to do is acknowledge him in all of our ways, to trust him. It's to notice where he's already moving, and to trust that where he's moving, he's going to make the path straight. How many of you have experienced that before? What seems like chaos and doesn't make sense, and you feel like you're in a roundabout just kind of doing a lot of driving in circles, and then suddenly, that's where I'm supposed to go. It's how he works again and again and again. And so the training question for the year is simple. Are you ready for this? God moves. Do we notice? Are you watching him move? I've had this pet peeve with some of the pastors I gather with in our area, because a lot of the pastors I know are praying and asking God, we got to pray for revival. We got to pray for revival, that God would do this revival. And I'm like, I don't know about you, but I'm watching God move in mysterious, awesome, unexpected ways around me every day. So I don't know what you're praying for that would actually happen, but I think it's happening. And I'm telling you, God is moving in your life. Notice. I promise you, he's wanting to do a work in you, and he's wanting to do a work around you, and all we've got to do is join him in the work he's doing in us, and join him in the work that he's doing around us. When we do that, we will find it's far easier to trust him and to not lean on our own understanding, because we will be hungry for the transformation that he's doing, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of the people around us. It's happening. All we've got to do is notice. Do we notice where God is working? Do we notice where God is doing his thing? And are we following him where he's working? And I'm excited, because we're going to spend the year learning how to answer that question. In our personal lives, in our families, in our church, in our city, God is already moving, and our job is to open our eyes to see it. And so the series and the conversations and the Sundays that are ahead for this year, we're going to ask some variations of the same question. Where is God already moving, and am I following him there? And so that's where we're going. And I can't wait to go there with you. Aren't you excited? Come on. Yeah, there we go. Thanks. So let's move into communion. Every week at Mountain View, we pause. And I tell you, there's three tables down on the floor, and there's one up in the balcony. And there's a cup, and the bottom cup is a piece of bread, and the top cup is filled with juice. And we come to the table week after week, every week at Mountain View, as people who are still in the middle. We're still in the cycle. We're still in the in-between, still learning to notice God and where God is already working. We're still learning all of these things. And today we come as people who have seen something. And what we've seen is 10 weeks of the same story told 10 different ways with one answer every single time. And the answer is, will God bring us through? The question is, will God bring us through? And the answer is, yes, he always has and he always will. And the bread and the cup represent the broken body and the blood of the one who the whole story is actually about. The one who went all the way down into the deepest parts of the water so he could come all the way up. The one who is already on the throne. The one with whom the river flows from. And so today, eat the bread, drink the cup with gratitude. Eat the bread, drink the cup with thanksgiving. Not just for what he has done, though he has done more than enough in our lives. But eat and drink with gratitude and thanksgiving for who he is. For who he is. The God who is faithful in Genesis all the way through Revelation. The God who hovered over the chaos and now reigns over the crystal river. He has not changed. He will not change. He won't stop working. And so come to the table grateful, thankful, remembering as resurrection people, knowing that the river is flowing. Does that make sense? Eat and drink with thankfulness and gratitude. You're free to go.